Good morning. 41 years ago today, I stood exactly where Margaret and I sat and said, I do. And she said, I do too, and that was a good day. 41 years. This talk I'm going to give you today is for me, because more than any time that I can remember in my professional life, we're stressed because of everything that's going on in healthcare, and I tend to try to be a positive influence on those who work for me and those I see, and I have been of late finding that very difficult to maintain. I'm a fairly good actor, but inside I'm finding it very difficult to maintain. And I find in our society today that more and more people are operating under that same stress. We may be able to put our mask on, we may be able to pretend, we may be able to fool one another, but inside we are stressed and troubled. So this morning, I don't normally use a text for a talk, but this morning we're going to be in Acts, the 12th chapter, if you'd like to turn there. Acts, the 12th chapter, and we're going to be reading a few verses here and seeing what I can get out of it for me, and hopefully you can get out of it something for yourself. I think when I'm done, I have a fairly simple point this morning. I wanted to have a simple point this morning. And hopefully I'll get it, and you will as well. Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring them forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. His chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said to him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He said to him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. These are bad times. These are bad times. Persecution of the church is ramping up. We've already had Stephen, who has been stoned. There are, although we have nothing specific, indications of other people who have suffered severe persecution as well. But times are getting worse, because now we have one of the apostles of the church who is killed by the sword. One of the very people who had walked with Jesus and had been given all the gifts of the Holy Spirit was killed by Herod, and a church was in trouble. Because, remember, these are the people who are going to tell the church, organize the church, and tell the church how this Christianity that Jesus sacrificed himself for is going to actually work. You don't have a book. You don't have an instruction manual. And by the way, be careful whenever you get on somebody for not reading your Bible. You realize nobody in the first century read their Bible. Nobody. Be careful. They were okay. We'll get on that sometime when I'm in a different mood, okay? But nobody did in the first century. But the church was stressed. It was stressed because this one of their 13 sources of information about what God wanted them to do has just been slaughtered. And then Herod, because, oh, that worked out well, he grabs Peter. This is supposed to be a good time. This is a Passover. This is a time that we get together and we celebrate about how God passed over the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. How he saved our firstborn. This is a time of celebration. How could God let this happen? This is a time that we should be joyous. We should be feasting. We should be happy. But we're not. We're not. Passover is supposed to be a good time. God's timing and view of events sometimes is very much different than ours. If you notice as you read through there, Peter was no different. If you put yourself in Peter's shoes, Peter know he wasn't going to get killed with a sword? No, just seeing his fellow apostle killed with a sword. No reason to think that anybody's going to rescue him. Nobody rescued James. No angel showed up to rescue James. So Peter's sitting in prison the first day and the second day and the third day. You notice what day God decided to show up? The last day. The very night before he's supposed to go on trial the next day. Probably lose his head. That's when God decided to show up. Wonder what Peter was thinking during all that time, sitting in jail. I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder what I'm thinking. I'm going off. And then as you look at the story, the security of man doesn't amount to whole lot when compared to God's power, does it? We chain him up. Not one chain, but two chains between two guards. Have two sets of guards on the way out of the prison and a locked gate. Didn't really amount to a whole lot at all, did it? They just went away. Angel came and I saw that smoke Peter in the side. Elbowed him. Peter, time to get up. We're getting out of here. And they just walked out. These soldiers weren't lazy. Their lives were on the line. At the end of the story, they gave their lives because Peter had escaped. Security of man is not much compared to God's power. And Peter, he thought it was a dream. I must be dreaming this. Well, I didn't really come to you this morning to talk about Peter. I came to you to talk about Rhoda. Because Rhoda is the interesting part. So we begin reading again in verse 12. Actually, we'll begin with 13 or 11, so you get the context again. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they came, and they said to her, "You're mad. You're crazy. Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. So we have Peter, he's just walked through, got away from two chains on prisoners, walked out through two sets of guards, walked through a gate that opened all by itself, and he ends up at the house of Mary, the mother of Mark, and there's a church gathering going on. Church gathering going on. It said earlier that they were praying for him. I find it curious. What were they praying for? Exactly what were they praying for? Find out later, they thought Peter was dead. So they were not praying for Peter. They're praying for themselves. This is a Passover, and we are subject to persecution. These people are praying because they are scared. They're scared. And we do these scenarios, you know, what would happen in our society if people showed up with guns and held a gun to your head and said either deny Christ or we're going to shoot you, or held a gun to your loved one's head and said either deny Christ or we're going to shoot you, or showed up and confiscated everything you had and put you on the pile, on the rock pile, and put you to work. And we go through all these scenarios, and maybe they're kind of an interesting mental exercise, but this is real. This is real. People who had talked to them, people who had lived with them, people who had prayed with them, are dead. They have lost their head. Their other leader is in jail, probably facing the same result. And who are they to think that they are going to be any different? These people are huddled together in this house praying because they're scared. Things aren't going well. Just like things don't go well in our lives sometimes. Things aren't going well. And we're all huddled together in this little house, and we're praying and we're shaking. And there's a knock on the door. A loud knock on a door in the middle of the night. A loud knock on a door. You can feel the hairs on the back of your neck come up. Now we know that it wasn't persecution waiting out there in the bad times. We know it wasn't that. What was waiting out there? Joy! Joy was waiting out there. Not you, Joy. Joy was waiting. Good things were waiting out there. That's what was waiting out there. Joy, good things, pleasure, happiness, it was all waiting outside the gate, but it can't get in because the gate is locked. The gate of the prison fell open. This gate is locked, and Peter can't get in. Joy and good can't get in. How many times has happiness, good, joy, good things stood outside your door, knocking, and the gate is locked? How many times has joy, goodness, happiness, the things you would be thrilled with, stood outside the door of your heart, knocking, and the door is locked? It is locked. Lock solid. Because the assumption is that bad is at the door. They're huddling this house. They don't know what's outside there. They have no idea. There's no surveillance cameras. They have no idea what's out there. They just know they're scared. And something's knocking at the door, and they assumed it wasn't good. You ever make any negative assumptions about things that are going on in your life? Just automatically assume that it's negative, it's bad. We think we got troubles. These people thought they were going to die. We have all kinds of people in the Bible who made assumptions negatively. You know, it was mentioned somewhere this morning about Elijah. You know, just assumed that he was the only one. Wanted to be dead. I'm the only one. Cain, I don't know what Cain assumed. You ever wonder about Cain? Because Cain's was a fairly simple case. God told him, you do what's right, you'll be okay. You don't do what's right, you won't be okay. Pretty simple proposition. What kind of assumptions did Cain make about what his relationship is going to be with God now? Am I going to be kind of the lesser because God had to kind of encourage me a little bit to do what I'm supposed to do, and Abel just jumped right in there and did that? Is God? What kind of assumptions did Cain make that made him go out and kill his brother? They weren't good ones. So we're all huddled in this house. We're all scared to death, and there's a knock on a door. A gasp in our hearts. The knocking continues. So what do? We send Rhoda. Why would I send Rhoda? This isn't Rhoda's house. This is Mary's house. It's not Rhoda's house. I send Rhoda to check on the knocking at the door. Who did Rhoda think was at the door? You think she thought any different than the rest of them? Nope, trouble. Can you imagine the imaginations of this young girl as she's sent to check on the door? Bet her hair stood up on the back of her neck too. We're always making these negative assumptions and imagining bad. We're good at it. You think about the story of David and Goliath. You know, you got these two armies that are facing each other. Goliath comes out and challenges the armies of the Jews. And nobody go out and meet him. That's a very strange story. The strangeness of the story is, what do they think is going to happen when Goliath just decides to cross the brook? Yeah, if I'm afraid to go over and fight him over there, what's going to happen if he comes over here? I kind of see the army of Israel kind of strung out in single file so there's nobody behind them so they get a fast getaway. Because they already imagined being dead. They already imagined fighting Goliath. They already imagined being smashed by this giant. That isn't what David imagined, is it? David said, no, I don't think so. I can see myself, with God's help, killing this character. He'd be dead. So Rhoda goes to the door. She has absolutely no authority to let anybody in. She's sent to investigate. And what's on the other side of the door that we know about? Joy, happiness, pleasure, the things we like. How many times do I want somebody else to go open the door to let joy and happiness and pleasure into my life? I'm not going to do it. Rhoda, you go do it. You go open the gate and let the happiness and joy in. Now, I'm imagining that it's all bad. But even if it's good, you go do it. I'm not taking responsibility for this. I'm not taking responsibility for my own happiness and having joy in my life. Someone else is going to have to be responsible. If I don't have joy and happiness in my life, it's your fault. It's your fault. The story gets really, really strange. And when she knew Peter's voice. So she goes to the gate, scared to death. Who's there? It's me. I've heard that voice before. I heard it. That's Peter. I know that voice. That's Peter. But shouldn't open the door. Shouldn't open the door. Didn't open the gate for him because she was happy. Wow, Peter's here. Peter standing out there. Peter's here. Joy's here. She didn't open it. You notice there? She didn't open it for gladness. She got so excited, she forgot to open the door. We can get so excited about the possibility of joy and good things that we don't do the simple things, like just open the door, which will allow it to come in and happen in my life. So she runs in, where the rest of them are, still shaking. She's excited. She's urgent because she ran. She didn't stroll. She's excited. It's the sense of urgency. And she expresses absolutely no doubt that it's Peter at the gate. No doubt at all. Absolutely convinced of the joy that waits on the other side of that gate. Absolutely convinced of it. But still didn't open the gate. Didn't open the gate. So she runs into them and she tells them. And she's all excited. Peter's out there. And what did they say? You're nuts. You are nuts. Peter's not out there. You've lost it. Peter's not there. It'll never work. It'll never work. You're just dreaming. Good things and joy and all those things outside that I refuse to let in my... It won't work. There's always somebody ready to bring on your parade, isn't there? Isn't there always someone ready to say, it won't work? When I want to be happy, they're there to throw negatives on my parade? And on their own? You know, Joshua and Caleb were among the spies that went into the land. And they came back and they said, this is a great land. This is a cool place. You know, we got bunches of grapes here that are so big it takes two men and a pole to carry one of them. I'd like to see a bunch of grapes like that. I often wondered how you eat grapes that are that big. I think you have to cut them first because I can't pop one of those in your mouth. But that's just me. Okay, this is a huge place, great place. And the other ten said, "Yeah, but there's some problems over there. We got some concerns." Yeah, but it's a great place. Yeah, but we got some concerns. You know, sometimes happy people make us uncomfortable. They make us uncomfortable. And I rain on their parade. The Pharisees in Jesus' time were all like that. They had this system of religion that was so constricting and so difficult. And Jesus offered them a system that took their sins away and gave them, as we studied in class this morning, liberty. Just wouldn't be happy. Just wouldn't be happy and wouldn't let anybody else be happy. So you're crazy. You're nuts. And what's her response? She just give up? Remember, where's Peter? Get a little tired by this point. still knocking.
Joy and happiness is still outside knocking.
I haven't let them in my heart yet, but they're still knocking. Other people are raining on my parade, but they're still knocking. She didn't give up. She's persistent. Sometimes you have to stay after joy and good things. They don't just fall in your lap. You have to work for them. You have to stick with it. You have to be persistent to let it in. And she was. She was persistent. You remember the story in Luke, the 18th chapter, when the widow woman came to the judge and said, I want you to take care of the people who are troubling me. He was busy. He had troubles of his own. She came and talked to him again and again, 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 again. And pretty soon he said, I take care of this woman. She's going to drive me nuts. She's going to drive me nuts. You want to be happy? Act like you want to be happy. Go get it. Go get it. Be persistent. Oh, it just keeps getting stranger.
The knocking continues going on. Rhoda is insisting, that's Peter out there. She's insisting there are good things out there. Okay, yeah, we still hear the knocking. It has to be something out there.
Maybe it's his angel. Maybe it's Peter's angel. Already assumed Peter was dead. Already assumed the worst. So good at that. What if it had been his angel?
You're sitting in the house, you're scared to death. Word is persecution. Rhoda comes in and tells you, I think it's Peter out there. It sounds like Peter's voice. I know Peter's voice. I've listened to Peter enough times. That's Peter out there. It can't be Peter. Peter's dead. Don't know that, but believe it. Peter's dead. Well, then who could be out there? It sounds like Peter, and it's still knocking. Well, it must be Peter's angel. Well, what are you going to do with Peter's angel? You're just going to leave him out there knocking? Peter's angel? You're just going to leave him out there. Just because it's not the joy that you anticipated getting? It would have been great if Peter had shown up, but Peter's dead. So if Peter's angels show up, it's not the joy I was anticipating. It's not the happiness that I had planned out. But it certainly could still be pretty happy. I think that would be pretty interesting to talk to Peter's angel. Peter's dead. Have Peter expound to us from that standpoint. Well, that'd be pretty interesting. No, he's left out knocking because it isn't what I expected. It isn't the happiness I expected. It isn't the joy I expected. So I leave it outside just knocking. And Peter continues in verse 16, knocking. The man has to be getting tired of knocking. He's been sitting in jail for days. Didn't have to make much effort to get out of jail. But he's been sitting in jail for days. He's been out here knocking for I don't know how long. A long conversation went on here. These people are scared to death. She goes. They hope the knocking goes away for a while. Then they send Rhoda to check on it. And Rhoda talks to him for a minute. She convinces him. She comes back. Tells him it's Peter outside. They say, you're nuts. They go through that conversation. They say, well, if you're not nuts, it's his angel. And they go through that kind. Man, I have to be getting tired.
Peter continued knocking. Opportunity and joy and happiness continue to knock in our lives. They continue to knock. Even if I miss my first chance, and my second chance, and my third chance, and my fourth chance, it continues to knock. And they open the door, and they were astonished. Why? Why? Why are we astonished when God gives us good things? When God can give us joy? When God can give us happiness? Even if it's not the one we were expecting. Why are we so surprised? God's always wanted good things for us. He's always wanted us to be happy. He's always wanted us to have joy in our heart. Why are we surprised? God can turn these troubled times that we have, sometimes when we feel desperate, into blessings. Into blessings. And he, telling them to be quiet, told them what had happened. Said, go tell everybody else. Didn't stick around, went to another place. I think this is a great story about how we treat joy and happiness. How we actually resist it. We actually resist and impede joy and happiness in our lives. We will not unlock the stinking door. We imagine negative. We let everybody rain on our parade. We won't take it when it's delivered. It's not the one I was expecting. And so we just continue to be unhappy, stressed, not joyful. Open the cockeyed door. Open it. Open it. In Revelation, the third chapter, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. This is not just about our being happy. As sinners, we were in desperate straits. You talk about troubles. We had troubles. No way out, and if we're smart, we learn to be scared. If it raises the hairs on your back of the neck to think that Herod might be knocking at your gate door, how much does it raise the hairs on the back of your neck to think that God might not be knocking at your life's door? Jesus is knocking, and he's sitting there on the other side, and he's offering all the good stuff. Peace, joy, and happiness. He's offering it, but my gate is locked. It's locked. I may have accepted his forgiveness of my sins. I may have even become a Christian. But what I want you to think about this morning is, have I really let his happiness and his joy and his peace in? Have I really let it in? Or am I still always assuming it's bad knocking at the door of my life? Am I still always imagining the worst in every situation? And I won't take responsibility for opening the door myself. No one's going to open your heart's door to Jesus for you. No one. You're going to have to do it yourself. You have to do some things. You have to actually open the gate. You have to do the things to let it in. But how many people are convinced of Jesus and the good that he did and that he was the Son of God who just won't open the gate? Rhoda, open the gate. Open it.
And just like here, there will always be people and circumstances that will rain on your Christian parade. There will always be people who are willing to rain on it, who will tell you how stupid it is, how ignorant it is, how out of touch with reality you are. There will always be people who will say, "You're nuts, Rhoda," or "You don't understand what's going on. It's his angel." Always going to be those. But Jesus just keeps knocking. Just keeps knocking. And man, if we'll open that door, we'll be astonished. We'll be astonished. We read this chapter in our Bible study. I got to thinking about this girl, why she wouldn't open that gate, and how many times we let the stress and strains, troubles, desperation of this life so affect us. And they're true. The persecution was true. There are times that are desperate and are troubled and disturbing and frustrating and angering. There are times like that. But what a pitiful thing it is when good is sitting outside our hearts, happiness and peace and joy are sitting out there, and we just won't open the gate. It's disgusting and sad. This morning, we're offering the invitation to anyone who is convinced that Jesus is the route to their happiness and joy and peace here, and their route to happiness, joy, and peace eternally. Don't just sit inside the gate. Don't just sit there. You know, if no one had ever gone to the gate, Peter would still be out there knocking, and they would still be inside scared. Open the gate. And for us as Christians, it's our opportunity and even our responsibility to open the gate, to let the love and joy and peace that Jesus is supposed to have given us in our hearts in troubled times out. Lock the invitation.